All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Aleph 51. We are picking up on Nun Amud Beis. 50B. And we are picking up seven lines up from the bottom. Last word on the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Avodos Kochavim She'ovdino Sobemakel. Jabosai, if there was a particular Avodah Zarah that they would worship it with the staff. How would you worship it with the staff? Rashi says, literally, again, they would make noise with the staff in front of it. Right? Literally, shemakashkin means like they would hit against it. They would hit against it with the staff. So the Gemara says, shavar makel befanel, if you broke the staff in front of the idol, chayiv, then one would be chayiv. Zorek makel befanel, but if you threw the stone in front of it, then what? Then, excuse me, you threw the staff at the idol, then potter. So if you broke the staff in front of it, you'd be chayiv for avodah zarah. If you threw the staff at it, you would be potter. So let's say, what's the pshat over here? So again, Rashi points out, well, let's take a look. I'm going to abide the Rava. Sabai says to Rava, Maishna shever, why is it that if you break the staff in front of the idol, that's like avodah zarah? Da'avidei ke'in zavicha. So you have to say the act of breaking a staff is similar to the act of shechita. Why is it similar to the act of shechita? Because when you shecht an animal, you break its neck. So because there's an element of breakage associated with slaughter, therefore the act of breaking the staff in front of the avodah zarah resembles some type of avodah bifnim, some type of temple service. Remember again, this is coming on the tails of the sugya yesterday, where in order to be chayav for serving avodah zarah, that which I do for the avodah zarah has to resemble something done inside the Beis HaMikdash. So if I snap the staff, that is like going ahead and snapping the neck of the animal, and therefore is going to be aser. So on the other hand, the act of throwing the staff at the idol does not resemble anything inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore again one will be potter. Amar Lei, so the Gemara says, Amar Lei ba'ina zrika mishtaberes v'leka. But I'm sorry, zarak nami habilei kein zrika. But one second, even if you throw the staff, throwing the staff, also resembles the avodah of zrika, right? Zrika means when you sprinkle the blood. So why isn't throwing the staff like throwing the blood? To which the Gemara says, "Amalei ba'ina zrika mishtaberes." Because we'll say literally, you need a broken zrika. What does Rashi say? A zrika that breaks apart. What does it mean, a zrika that breaks apart? So we'll say when you sprinkle blood, so the coin picks up the blood, and ultimately, again, it starts off in larger droplets, but then as you sprinkle it, the droplets break apart. So in order for something to resemble zrika, it has to be called zrika mishtaberes. And that's not the case, obviously, when you throw the staff against the idol. So the Gemara says, is that true? Safas leitzoa, osha nasach lefana avit shalmei min raglayim. But let's say if you took an animal, and you literally, again, put excrement in the mouth of the animal. Idol. Osha nasach, this is the way you're worshipping the idol. You're putting excrement in the mouth of the idol. Osha nasach lefana avit shalmei min raglayim. Or you take urine, and you sprinkle the urine on the idol. What's the top of nuna? Lef chayiv. One will be chayiv for such an avoda. Okay, so bishlama avit shalmei miraglayim ikas vika mishtaberes. So I understand in the case of sprinkling the urine, you'll be chayiv for that. Why? Because that does resemble zrika in the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Because it's what's called zrika mishtaberes. In other words, you're sprinkling something, and the object is breaking apart as you sprinkle it. Meaning it breaks apart into smaller droplets. Elatsoa my zrika mishtaberes ika. So, but one second, when it comes to the smearing of the excrement in the animal, in the idol, so ultimately, again, what are you chayiv for? What does that resemble? How does that resemble zrika? To which the Gemara says, bitsoa lacha. It's talking about, again, with watery excrement. So with watery excrement, if you sprinkle it, ultimately, again, it too will be a zrika mishtaberes. It will break apart when sprinkled, and therefore, again, resembles the zrika of the Beis HaMikdash. Lema ketenai. So we'll see. Let's say that this is machlokes tanoim. Shachat lachagav. We'll listen to this. If you shechted a grasshopper for avodah zarah, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv. the Chacham approach and the Chacham say you're Potter. My love, Bahakam of the Gerbil, so are they not arguing about the following point? Demar Savra Amrinan Kein Zavicha. So one opinion says you're going to be Chayiv. Why? Because if something resembles an act of slaughter, therefore again you're Chayiv for Avodah Zarah. This resembles an act of slaughter. Umar Savra La Amrinan Kein Zavicha, Ela Kein Pnim. And one says it's not enough that the act resemble an act of slaughter, but it has to resemble something done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Because grasshoppers are never brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, therefore what? Therefore one will be Potter. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, the chuli amalo amrina kein zvicha ela kein pnim ba'inan." The Gemara says, "No, everyone agrees that in order to be chayav for avodah zarah, the way in which you serve the avodah zarah has to resemble something done, an avodah done inside the Beis HaMikdash. The shiny chagov, but the grasshopper is different. Why? Hoyel v'tzavaro doma l'tzavar behema. Because apparently, Rabbi says, I guess certain types of grasshoppers, at least." The neck resembles the neck of a behema. So because the neck of the grasshopper resembles the neck of the behema, therefore what? The act of shechita resembles something done inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore again, one will be chayiv. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Ravua, Amrav. Avodas kochavim sha'ovdin oso b'makas. We'll say this is kind of repeating a little bit of what we learned before. If you have an avodah zarah, that you normally worship it with the staff. And we'll say again, as we saw before in Rashi, but Pashas, what this means is, Shemekash Kishin Lefanei B'Makal. They would knock on the idol, they would knock on the idol with the staff. So if you have this type of Avodah Zarah, Shavar Makal B'Fanei Chayiv V'Ne'eseres. So if you break the staff in front of the idol, so first of all, you're Chayiv for Avodah Zarah, and what? And the staff is also Usser. Zorak makel b'fanel, but if you threw the staff at the idol, so what's that halacha? Chayiv, one is chayiv for worshipping avodah zarah, ve'ein on ne'aseres, but yet the staff itself is not aser. Armali Rav Rav Nachman, maishno shever, dehavilei ke'in zvicha. So why is it that when you break the staff in front of the idol, why is it that you're chayiv for avodah zarah? Because Moses, as you said before, the act of breaking the staff is similar to an act of slaughtering. Just like by slaughtering, you snap the neck of the animal. So to over here, you're snapping the staff. So the Gemara says, Zorak nami havye ke'in zvika. So I understand when you throw the staff, you should also be chayiv. Why? Because that's similar to atrabosai. That's similar to zvika. That's similar to sprinkling the blood. Amarlei, but in zvika mishtaberes v'leka. He says, no, because in zvika, rabosai, the way it works is it's called zvika mishtaberes. Literally a sprinkling which breaks apart. Which means larger droplets that break apart into smaller droplets. In this case, when you throw the staff at the idol, nothing is breaking apart, everything remains whole. So the Gemara says, Elamei ata, avnei beis makel. It's supposed to listen to this. If that's the case now that you're telling me, that when you throw something at an idol, you really shouldn't be chayiv. Why? Because that act doesn't resemble something done in the Beis HaMikdash. Why doesn't it resemble zrika? Well, because zrika is what's called zrika mishtaberes. You take larger droplets, you sprinkle them, and they break apart into smaller ones. Any act of zrika that does not conform to the details of a zrika mishtaberes will not be chayiv. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara asks such a profound and fundamental question. Elmi'ata avnei beis markalis b'maye asru. If that's the case, then why are you chayiv ultimately for going ahead and what? Throwing stones at Markalis. See, I will say, we assumed that what is it that's asr about throwing stones at Markalis? That Bepashos, if you assume that the service of Avodah Zarah somehow, someway has to resemble that which is done inside the Beis HaMikdash, then I always assumed that worshipping Markalis ultimately is going to be asr because it resembles Zrika. But it doesn't resemble Zrika. Why? Because Zrika has to be a Zrika Mishtaberes, right? A sprinkling where larger droplets break apart, larger pieces break apart into smaller ones. And yet that's not the case over here by Markalis. So the Gemara says, Amrali, he said, Afle didi kashili. Excellent question. I had the same question. Why should one be chayiv for throwing a stone at Markalis? V'she'ilti l'rabi baravua v'rabi baravua l'chiyah barav. L'chiyah barav l'rav. And all these great rabbis ended up asking Rav. And Rav said, Va'amrali, na'aseh kimegadal avodas kochavim. Well, it's actually quite interesting. When you throw a stone at Markalis, it's not just simply that you're worshipping the idol, but rather, again, you are enlarging the idol. The act of throwing a stone at Markalis represents adding a stone to the structure of Markalis. Take a look at Rashi. Kimegadal avodas kochavim. Hatosefes Ela Markel is cut. Only Asos Markel is godel. Visuro mishum avodas kochavim atzma velo mishum takroves. Well, said, this is very interesting. We always thought that the act of throwing a stone at Markelis is like an offering to Markelis. Kamasha says, Gemara, no, what it is as follows. Apparently, you would start off a Markelis idol, you know, with two stones in one, and then people who worship it would come and they would cast a stone at it. We thought, it's not throw a stone, like knock it down. It's they would cast a stone. That act of casting a stone, we'll say, is what? Is adding to the idol. The goal is you take a little Markelis and you make a Zeakot on Gadol Yiyya, right? You make it into a big Markelis, right? That's the idea over here. So every stone is Kimigadal Avodah Zarah. So it's not Takroves, interestingly enough. It's not an offering to Avodah Zarah. Instead, what is it, Rabbi Osai? It's an enlarging of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Hani Chalaman Dam Avodah Kacham Shalabi Kacham Masur Miyat. So that makes sense, according to the opinion. It says that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is Asr immediately. El man the Amr Achete Ovid Tishtri. But I will say, according to the man who says that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is only Asr once it is worshipped, then by definition, Markelis, right, the Markelis stones, should be permitted. The Halapalcha, because I will say, ultimately again, you're telling me now that at the end of the day, the stones that are cast out of Markelis, I will say, are not a form of offering. If they're not a form of offering, but rather, again, they're a form of enlarging the idol, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, the stones themselves are not considered an act of praying to the idol. If that's the case, the idol's never been prayed to. If the idol's never been prayed to, then what? Then what? Then it should be mutter. To which the Gemara says, Amrulei, Kolachas va'achas na'asa avodas kochavim v'takroves t'chaverta. So the Gemara says, really, each stone has a dual identity. Each stone, Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, is kimegadol, enlarges the primary idol, but is also considered to be an offering to the stone before it. Ihaki, if that's the case, basrei samia tishtri, Rabbi Osai, if that's the case, then the last stone, ultimately, again, should be permitted. Right, the last stone itself, Rakalugi Rashi, Basrei Satishri, it's almost right across in Rashi, Basrei Satishri, Sherei Avodos Kochavim Nasis Avalo Ne'evda Adayin. See, Bosei, because if that's the case, the last stone of Bosei is what? Is enlarging Markelis, but it hasn't been worshipped. Because Bosei, at what point in time does a stone become worshipped? Only when the next stone is thrown. But so the last stone of Osai, which is then becomes part of enlarging Markelis, but has never actively been worshipped, should be permitted. So let's listen to this. So Amrle, so he said to him, great question. If you could find the last stone, you could take it and use it. Razor says, so, you know, technically you're right, but Lamaisa, again, the ability to differentiate between the stones is virtually impossible. Rav Ashi says, Kolachas va'achas na'as is takrovis li'atzma, v'takrovis l'chaverta. But Rav Ashi is a little bit differently. He says, every stone is na'as is takrovis li'atzma, is worshipping itself, and worshipping its friend. So we'll say, it turns out that in Rav Ashi's model, every stone almost has a triple purpose. Number one, it goes ahead and enlarges Markelis. As it enlarges Markelis and becomes a deity, it also becomes an offering to itself and an offering to the stone before it. That's why, again, Alocha Lamaisa, even though the act of throwing the stone of Markelis does not resemble an Avodas Pnim, it'll still be awesome. Says the Gemara Tanan, Matza berosho ksus umos. What was actually our next Mishnah? So, if you find on top of the Markelis clothing or money, o kelim, or utensils for that matter, hari elu mutarin. We'll say ultimately again, all of these objects will be mutar. Again, we'll define why that is. Parchili anavim. But if you find clusters of grapes, ataros shel shibolim, or I will say literally, reed is made of grain, vienos or wine, shmanim oil, salasos, right, salsos. Fine grain, v'chol davar shikiyosebo, or I will say anything else, karav legabe mizbeach. I'm sorry, shiyosebe karav legabe mizbeach, or anything else I will say that is normally offered up in the Beis HaMikdash, aser. These items will be aser. So let's analyze this. Bishlama, yanim, yenos, shmanos, first white line, yon alef, and alef. So bishlama, yenos, shmanim, v'salasa. So I understand when it comes to wine, oil, and flour, ika kein pnim, the ika canes become shtaver. So we'll say all of these things are offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash, and they all fall under the category of Zuka Mishras. When you sprinkle them, I will say, what happens? You start out with larger droplets, and they break apart. So meaning, if you take wine, oil, and fine flour, you start out with larger amounts, and then those larger amounts break out. So that's why I can Rabbo say, I understand that if you find those by the Avodah Zarah, they become Aser. We assume they've been used by the Zrika, by the Avodah Zarah, and what? That Zrika resembles the Zrika of the Beis HaMikdash because it's a Zrika Mishtaberes. Ella, Parchili Anotim, Va'ataros Shal Shibolim, Lo Ke'in Pinim Ika, Velo Ke'in Zrika Mishtaberes Ika. But we'll see, here's the problem. But when it comes to clusters of grapes, right, when it comes to Ataros Shal Shibolim, literally wreaths of grain, so I don't understand. Number one, these items are not offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, there's no Zrika Mishtaberes. So why would it be Aser? Amar Rava, Amar Ula, Kigon Shebatzar Metchil Lekach. Rava says, "Well, say, what's the case over here? The case is where you cut down these items. You cut the cluster of grapes, or you cut the grain, the stalks of grain, for the purpose of Avodah Zarah and the Shifa. From the time you cut it down, it was for Avodah Zarah. So, what does that have to do with anything? Look at Rashi just a moment. It's Rashi almost right across. Shebatzar Metchila, Litzorech Avodas Kochavim, remember, as we saw before, the act of cutting something resembles by definition the act of zricha, resembles the act of slaughter, of shechita. So when you cut down the clusters of grapes or the stalks of grain for the sake of Avodah Zarah, that resembles what? That resembles shechita, which is an avoda pnim, which is an avoda done inside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore will be aser. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin lezovech behema balmum, balos mum, avodas kochavim, shupater." But say, from where do we know that if you offer up an animal which is a balmum, right, a blemished animal to avodas kochavim, that you are going to be pater? Where do we know that from? Shneemar zovech leElohim yacharam, bilti laHashem levado. Literally, again, one who goes ahead and worships an animal to a foreign god will be killed. One is only permitted to worship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Lo Asra Torah, so we'll say, what do you see from here? The Torah compares idolatrous practice to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, what's the point of that comparison? Lo Asra Torah Ela Ke'in Pnim, to teach us that one is only chayiv for worshiping Avodah Zarah if that which they've done for Avodah Zarah resembles that done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Havi ba Rava. So Rava wondered about this. B'mai. I will say, what exactly, what kind of balmum are we talking about over here? Ilema bedukin sheba'ayin. If you want to say, we'll say, you know, bedukin sheba'ayin, that Lashon sounds familiar. Why? We have seen that Lashon before. You remember example that Lashon in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, when Bar Kamsa tries to go ahead and malign the Jews to the Roman government, he tells the Caesar, the Jews are not going to accept your carbon. So remember again, what did he do? The Gemara says he made some kind of mum in the animal that for the Goyim would be okay, but for us we wouldn't use. So one of the examples the Gemara says is Bedukin Sheba'ayin. Literally it translates as a cataract, but some type of issue in the eye. So the Gemara says, Hashalim ne noach chazya ligavoa bebama dido, lavodas kocham mibay. I don't understand. Let's say, a ben noach, as much as I can't offer up an animal with an eye blemish inside the Beis HaMikdash, but this animal is absolutely permitted for a ben noach to offer up on his bama. So we'll say, if it's good enough for a ben noach, it's certainly good enough for what? For avodas kochavim. Ela b'mechusar ever. Rather, what are we talking about over here? An animal lacking a limb. Uchid Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar. Minayim mechusar ever shu asher libnei noach. But we'll say, from where do we know that an animal missing a limb is asher for a ben noach? Shenemar umikol achayim mikol basar shenayim. So I'll say, what does the Pasuk say? By Noach. Pasuk says, Mikol achai, mikol basar shnayim. You have to take from every living thing too. So the Gemara says, Amar Torah, Have behema shechayin rushin evarim shalom. So we'll say, ultimately, again, only bring onto the teva an animal whose limbs are intact. Hi, umikol achai mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, hi, umikol achai mi ba'ilei, let me utei trefa. So we'll say, 1 second, that mikol achai is necessary to what? To exclude a trefa. That Noach was not permitted to bring a trefa animal on board. But remember again, a trefa, just on a basic definition, is any animal that has an ailment that is going to cause it to die imminently. But 1 second, the Gemara says, no. Me'lahachios zerenafka. The exclusion of a trefa from the teva is learned out from the statement lachios zera, that the animals are there to perpetuate their species. So therefore, that excludes the trefa. So we'll say that's fine according to me. This is that a trefa is incapable of giving birth. According to the one who says that trefa is capable of giving birth, then ultimately again you can't learn out from lachios kol zera. Lachios zera. What is there to say? Amakra itcha. Therefore, the pasuk says to Noach, bring the animals to the teva with you. Right? Lachios itach. Excuse me. To live with you. Itach bedom lacha. So I'll say itach means that the animals, Noach, have to be like you. Just like you are complete, so too the animals have to be complete. I bedilma Noach gufei trefa hava. Maybe Noach himself was a trefa. Right? You don't know about his bill of health. Right? Maybe he was a trefa also. To which the Gemara says, tamim ksiv. But I'll say the pasuk says tamim. The pasuk says that Noach was complete. So the Gemara says, dilma tamim midrachav. So ultimately says the Gemara, one second, maybe tamim rosa is not a physical statement. Maybe it's a spiritual statement that he was complete in his ways, midrachav. Tzadik siv, it says that he's a tzadik. So the Gemara says, dilma tamim midrachav, tzadik mamasov. But say maybe tamim ultimately means that he was complete, midrachav. And we'll say ultimately with his midos, tzadik bemasov, and he was righteous with his actions. To which the Gemara says, Lomatis amrit Noach gufei trefa hava. It's impossible to say that Noach was a trefa. Disag leitcha Noach trefa hava. Amali rachmana de kavasach ayol shlemin lo sayol. The pasuk says itach Noach is supposed to take the animals ultimately with you. And we darshan itach means domelacha, like you. So if Noach is a trefa, God is telling him to take animals that are trefas also, but not to take healthy animals, doesn't make sense. Hashta de nafka me itach lahachios zera lamali. But we'll say, so now that we know that itach means that Noach is supposed to take animals that are healthy, then what does lahachios zera come to teach me? Say, ime itach hava min latav saba alma. But we'll say, if we would have just said itach, I would have thought, why is Noach commanded to bring the animals on the ark? Perhaps it's just for some level of companionship. Vafilu zakin, vafilu sris. So therefore, you can even bring an animal, even if it's very old, even if it's incapable of having children. Kamasha lachios zera. Therefore, the pasuk of Osei says that what? Lachios zera, that the point of the animals there was to perpetuate the species. And therefore, the only animals allowed on the table were animals which could potentially perpetuate the species. But Osei, just to close out that loop, it happens here that Rambam paskins that if an Ovid Avodah Zara goes ahead and offers up an animal that is a mechusar aver, that is missing a limb, one is not chai for that act of Avodah Zara. Because even the Ovid Avodah Zara both say, do not offer animals with missing limbs up. Therefore, one who does so is not in violation of worshipping idolatry. Amar Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar says the following. Minayin l'shochepeim l'marka l'shu chayiv. But say, how do I know that if I shecht an animal for Markalis, I'm chayiv? They both say, now what is the Gemara talking about over here? This is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says as follows. Remember, how do you worship Markalis? You worship Markalis, again, with stones. What the Gemara is asking over here is as follows. How do I know that if I shecht an animal for Markalis, so ultimately, again, I'm chayiv? So we'll say, what I'm doing over here is I'm worshipping the Avodah Zarah of Markalis in its non-normative fashion. But again, how am I worshipping it? With what is considered to be a normative mode of worship. So I'm using a normative mode of divine worship. It just happens to be that this is not the mode of worship for this particular idolatry. Yet, I'm still going to be chayiv. Where do I know that from? So the Gemara says, Shene'emar, v'lo yizbuchu od es zivcheyem la'si'irim. Because the pasuk says, they will not offer up their offerings anymore to their gods. To their gods. So the Gemara says, Im ein in le kidarko. So we'll say, if I don't need this, so what is this pasuk coming to do? This pasuk coming to say, you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Bottom line. So we'll say, if the pasuk is not needed to teach to Aser the normative form of worship, that's what kidarko means. Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Look at kidarko. La'avodus kochavim shavadosa bezvicha danafkalan me'echa yavdu. So we'll say, I have another pasuk that teaches me that you're not permitted to worship an idol in its normative way. If that's the case, then what does this pasuk prohibiting idolatry come to teach me? So the Gemara says it comes to teach me tineu inyan l'shelo kedarka. What it comes to teach me that whatever is considered to be a quote unquote normative form of worship is ushered by all forms of idolatry, even if the particular idol is not worshipped in that way. We'll say, from where do we glean the category of normative modes of worship? Where do we get that? Where do we get that category from? the Beis HaMikdash. Essentially, again, if you do to an idol anything that is done inside the Beis HaMikdash, one will be chayif. One will be chayif for that, even though the idol is not worshipped in that way. So I shecht an animal for Markalis. Markalis is not worshipped with animal sacrifice. Nevertheless, again, one will be chayif. So the Gemara says, V'hala hach yudasa, but does this pasuk Eicha yavdu agayim elas Eloheim? Does this come to teach me that I'm chayif even for worshipping the idol Shaloki Darko? Haimi v'ayle l'chidisanyo. We'll say, I need this pasuk to teach me another halacha. Atkan. What's the other halacha we'll say? Atkan. So we'll say up until this particular pasuk, Torah is speaking about karbanos that have been consecrated b'shas isra bamos, while the bamos were asr, and they'll be offered up during the time of isra bamos. Shari anshan amar shene'emar val pesach oel moi lohevil. Because we'll say again, when there's a mishkan standing, there's an isra bamos, and there is a prohibition to offer up karbanos on private altars, because the pasuk says, "Al pesach amar lo yibiu ones shamanu." So we'll say, "I know the punishment as haraminayim." From where do I know the morning? The warning. Well, remember again, we've seen this concept many times, where the Torah will often have two psukim: one to teach me the warning, right, the ashara, and one to teach me the onesh. I know the onesh ultimately again for offering up a karban on a private altar during the time when private altars are prohibited. Where is the ashara? Tamud lomar. Pentala ola secha, uchid Rabbi Avin Amrabila. Dam Rabbi Avin Amrabila. Komakom shenemar ishamar upen vaal, eino ela belo sasa. We'll say wherever the Torah says pen, al, right? He shamar pen and al. That is coming to teach me a lo sasa. Alav mikan veilech, humedaber bekachem shekdishan b'shas heter abamus. Ve'ekriven b'shas isra abamus. But from this pasuk forward, the Torah is referring ultimately again to karbanos which were consecrated during the times where bamos were permitted, but ultimately again offered up when bamos became prohibited. Shne'emar leman asher yaviu bnei Yisrael sivchehem asher heim zovchim sheitarti l'cho kivar. But as the pasuk says, that Bnei Yisrael will bring their offerings that they are offering, Shetari l'chokvar, that I permitted you earlier, al pnei asada, I will say on the face of the field, melameid shekala zoveach bebama b'shas isra bamos ma'ala alav akosav kilu zoveach al pnei asada. But I say to teach you that what? Anyone who offers up a karban on a private bama at a time when bamos are asr, that's the equivalent of worshipping idolatry. So the Gemara says, ve'evium la'ashem, zu mitzvas asay. So that the Bible says, you shall bring it, you shall offer it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This becomes the positive commandment. Bible says, first wide line, no nala from the days, umitzvas lo sesiminai. Where is the prohibition from? Tamud lomar, for lo yizbuchu od es zivcheyem. You shall not offer up any more their karbanos. Yachol yehe anosh kares. I might have thought again the prohibition would be punishable by kares. Tamud lomar, chukas olam tiyez zos lohem. Zos lohem. We'll say zos, meaning it'll be a laugh, but it won't be karis. Amar Rava, kari bay velo yizbuchu, v'kari bay velo od. So Rava says, we'll say again, we apply both statements. So look at the last Rashi before the Mishnah, kari bay velo yizbuchu, v'kari bay velo od. V'hai od lo itzdirich. That lo od, we'll say, is not necessary. Therefore, shadi asar taravayu, therefore, I will say you could apply the lav to both of these cases, and it turns out that over here there are in fact two lavim. So I will say, so just the takeaway from this, by the way, is that indeed this is how we pass in halacha lemaisa, that even though each chum of the Zohar often had its own unique type of worship, the Rambam paskins that if you engage in what's called certain, we'll call it objective modes of worship, one will be chayiv, even though that particular mode of worship does not apply to that particular karban. So we'll say the paradigmatic example of this is shechita. Shechita. If you shecht an animal for any avodah zarah, even if what? That avodah zarah does not have animal sacrifice as part of its mode of worship, one will still be chayiv. It's we'll say pretty much if you take anything done in the Beis HaMikdash and you do it for an avodah zarah, ultimately again one will be chayiv for such an act. Good, says the Mishnah. Well, let's go weiter. Matzah berosho ma'os ksuso kelim. What's an interesting case? Back to Markalis. I find on top of the Markalis money, clothing, or utensils. Hare elu mutarin. It will say all of these objects ultimately again will be permitted. will be permitted. So the Gemara says, Parchili anavim v'atar shoshibon, but if I find clusters of grapes, or literally reeds of wheat, v'yenos ushmanim v'salasos, wine, oil, fine flour, or for that matter, anything else which can normally be offered up on the altar, aser. Ultimately, again, these objects will be aser. Now Rashi says over here, Matzah b'rosho, shal markolis ma'oz k'susa kelim mutarin, she'inon shal noy. What says, we're going to see when you find clothing, or you find money, or you find utensils on top of the markolis, we'll discuss the parameters of this. They're not for the sake of beautifying the idol, and therefore what? Therefore they are mutter. Says the Gemara, min hani mili. I will say, from where do we know this from? Amr b'chira Yosef, Amr b'oshia, kasef echad omer, v'tiresh shikut sehem, v'eski lulehem, eit v'aven kesef v'zov asher imahem. I will say, the Pasuk says, and they see their shikut sehem, their avodah zara, and their idolatry, eit even kesef zov, literally again, wood, stone, silver, gold, that is with them. Because of Echad Omer, lo sachmot kesef v'zohav aleihem. So we'll say, in the other part, it says, you shall not covet the gold and the silver upon them. So we'll say, the Pasuk uses two different words to describe the gold and silver of Avodah Zarah. In the first Pasuk, the Torah used Lashon of imahem, with them. In the second Pasuk, the Torah used Lashon of aleihem, on them. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Haketzot imahem dumya da'alehem." The Rebbe said, "The imahem with them is comparable to the on them." What does that mean? Ma'alehem davar shanoi aser she'eno shanoi mutter. Was it just like on the idol? Only gold and silver that is on the idol for decorative purposes is going to be aser. Af imahem. So to even that which is not on the idol but with the idol, davar shanai aser, v'she'ino shanai mutar. We'll say if it's decorative, it will be aser, but if it's not decorative, it won't be aser. It will be mutar. Ve'ima aleihem dum yedimar. But why don't you say, Abba say that? Why don't you say aleihem dum yedimar? That on them should be like, should be comparable to with them. Ma'imahem, kol ma'isheimahem. But say just like imahem means anything that is with the idol. Af aleihem kol she'aleihem. So to Rebbe say anything on top of the idol should be asur as well. Im kein lo yomru aleihem. If that's the case, the Gemara says, if it's just imahem, you could just go ahead and forget about aleihem altogether. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara says over, this is the explanation of the Mishnah. The explanation of the Mishnah, we'll say, is only something put on the idol for decorative purposes is going to be usr. Something that is just on the idol, but does not serve a decorative purpose, we'll say, is not going to be usr as avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Mos davar shanayhu. I don't understand. Placing money on top of the idol could be decorative, could beautify the idol. Why does the Mishnah assume that it's mutter? Amr debe rabyanai bikis kasher vitalui lo bitzavaro. So we'll say, what's the case? The case is not with the money. The money's in a pouch, and the pouch is tied around the neck of the idol. So that's not considered, a money pouch is not considered to be something decorative. Therefore, if you find the money pouch around the idol, around the markolis, or any other idol for that matter, so the mice, again, the money will be permitted. I ksus davar shanayu. I don't say, but if you find an article of clothing on top of the idol, is that not decorative in nature, and therefore should be aser? Amidi rabyanai, biksus mikupeles umunachos lo al rosho. What's that? It's talking about over here an article of clothing that's folded up and sitting on the head of the idol. If it's folded up and sitting on the head of the idol, that's not decorative. That's not decorative. Therefore, again, it's going to be permitted. I kli. What about a kli? Dover shall know you. We're both saying, isn't a utensil on top of the idol a decorative item? And therefore, again, should be us. Yet the Mishnah says it's mutter. Amra papa, disachifa le maskilta areshe. We'll say, what's the key? So here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, this, it's almost right across, disachifa le maskilta areshe, kfuya la gvia areshe, ve'in asuy kminkova. We'll say, Rashi claims over here, that's all talking about like a water trough that's overturned and placed on the head of the idol. So we'll say, so that's not derech kavod, that's not something, again, that's bakavadik to the idol. It's certainly not decorative, and therefore it will be permitted. Anavasi bachia. So we'll say, so bottom line, halach lemaisa was coming out of this Mishnah. Anyway, I say halach lemaisa because it's indeed codified by the Rambam, that just, we would have assumed, that anything found on an idol or in proximity to an idol is treated like the idol. Kamash Malan Abbas say that it is only usr as part of the idol if what? if it's decorative in nature. But if it's clear that it's not decorative in nature, then lamaisa again, the object is permitted. Amar Rav Asi Bar Chiya. Kosher lifnim in akel kalin, afilu mayim umelach aser. Chutz lekel kalin, davar shalnoi aser sheno shalnoi mazim. This is actually very interesting. Rashi points out here, kal kalin is mechitzihi prusa lefnim avodas kochavim. The kal kalin hu kinu shaklaim. So listen to this. So apparently, it used to be customary that people would have their idol, and they would put curtains in front of their idol, like as a sign. We'll say again, it's probably a takeoff of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Just like Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's a pargud, right? There's a curtain. And that curtain, we'll say, indicates that there's a certain divine area that's off limits. So too, again, people have put their avodah zarah behind curtains as well. So the Gemara makes an interesting distinction. Anything that's found behind the curtains, we'll say, is considered to be an offering or part of the avodah zarah, therefore will be usher. Even things as simple as water and salt. If you find water and salt behind the curtain, ultimately, again, they will be usher. Anything in front of the curtain, right, the Gemara says, say anything that's found behind the curtain, even if it's just water and salt, will be usher. Chutz l'kol kalin, outside of the curtain, davar shalnoi usher, I will say that which is beautiful. In other words, that which is decorative, I should say, is aser. She'eino shanoi mutar. But if it's not decorative, it will be permitted. So we'll say if you're behind the curtain, everything is aser. In front of the curtain, if it's decorative, it's aser. If it's not decorative, it's mutar. Amrav Yossi Barachanina, naktinun in kalkalin lo lipa'ar. Below the Markalis, we'll say this is actually interesting. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, you know that by Pa'ar and by Markalis, they didn't use curtains. These idols were never curtained. I don't know if it's right to word, but they were never placed behind curtains. They were always out in plain sight. So the Gemara says, Lemai. So, okay, who cares? Meaning, what does that matter? So ilema dafilu pnim kichutz dami b'shari. So maybe you're going to tell me that what it means is that there is no distinction, whereas by other idols, we'll say, what did we say? Anything that's decorative in nature, on the outside, will be prohibited. If it's not decorative, then what? Then it's permitted. Behind the curtains, everything is aser. So the Gemara says, ilema dafilu pnim kichutz dami. Maybe you're going to say, ultimately, again, that the outside, I should say, behind the curtains, like outside the curtains, v'shari. So the Gemara says, maybe you're going to say that lamaisa. Let's say again, you find something in front of Markalis or Pa'ar, that ultimately again, that it should be mutter, to which the Gemara says, Hashta pu'uri mefa'arinan kameh, mayim umelech lo makriban le. So I'll say, the Gemara says, I don't understand, what are you trying to say? That if you find something like water and salt in front of Markalis or Baal Pa'ar, that's not, because they're just, we'll say water and salt are very simple things, you wouldn't normally offer it up to your idol. The only time water and salt is going to be aser l'asai is when, is if it's behind the curtain. But Markalis and Pa'ar ultimately don't have curtains. So what are you going to tell me? That ultimately, again, that water and salt found in front of Markalis or Pa'ar should be permitted? The Gemara doesn't make sense. Baal Pa'ar, you defecate on the idol. Markalis, you throw stones at the idol, l'asai. So water and salt is not good enough for these kind of idols. In other words, if you're defecating on the idol, water and salt will do just fine, right? In other words, obviously the standards are different for sacrificial service. Ella, afilu chutz kipnim dami aser. Rather, what it means, we'll say, is to say as follows. That when it comes to these idols that do not have curtains, afilu chutz kipnim, which I will say means what? That anything found in front of the idol is the equivalent of having been found behind the curtain of the idol. So we'll say anything proximity to the idol ultimately, again, is considered to be as an offering to the idol, decorative to the idol, and therefore will be aser. Says the Mishnah. Avodas kochavim shahaya lagina. We actually quoted this Mishnah before. Avodas kochavim shahaya lagina. Omer chatz nen mehen shlobatova. So let's listen to this. Let's say the avodah zara owns a garden or a bathhouse. Also, remember we saw this again with Rabbi Gamliel and the bathhouse of Aphrodite. Right. So again, so the avodah zara owns a bathhouse or a gina or a garden. Omer chatz. Or Rabbi was right. Fine. So what's the halacha? Nen mehen. Rabbi say you could use the bathhouse or you could use the garden. Shlobatova. We'll say, now what does shalom betova mean? Rashi says over here, it's the first wide line at the bottom of Rashi. So we'll say, as long as you don't pay money, as long as you don't go ahead and pay anything to the priests. So as long as you don't pay anything to the priest, ultimately, again, you could use the bathhouse, the garden, or anything that belongs to Avodah Zarah. So now, what's the logic behind this? Rashi points out the principle, Ein hektish la'avodas kochavim. I will say, there is no such thing as hektish by Avodah Zarah. Right? In other words, the Beis HaMikdash could own property, Avodah Zarah can't own property. Therefore, again, the bathhouse, the garden, totally permitted. The issue is just supporting and sustaining the priests of the idolatry. That you can't do. I will say, and that's number one because you're being mechazek Avodah Zarah, but also because remember the priests of the Pashas will also give thanks. This goes back to the beginning of the Masechta. Will also give thanks to their Avodah Zarah for the newfound wealth. So the Gemara says, Shalom B'tova, Ve'ein Nedin Mehen B'tova. I'm sorry, Ve'ein Nedin B'tova. I'm sorry, lost the... Fine. Let's say ultimately again, and we'll discuss exactly what this means. Let's say it belonged to the Avodah Zarah and to others. We'll say you can get benefit from it, whether you pay money or you don't pay money. Again, we'll define the scope of that ruling in the Gemara. We'll say the idolatry of an akum is asr immediately. What does it mean asr immediately? But pashas, what that means is even before it's worshipped, right? It's already asr. V'shal Yisrael in asura ad shete avid. But the Avodah Zarah v'drur will say it's only asr when, only once it's worshipped. Amr Abaye says betova betova skomrim. So what Abaye says when we say that you can benefit from the gina, from the merchats of the Avodah Zarah, shalo betova. I should say that it is asr betova. Betova means if you're paying money to the priests. Shalo betova. I'm sorry, I keep losing the place. Shalobatova skomrim. So we'll say without tova means that you don't pay money to the priests. Lafuke tovas of deha deshari. As opposed to we'll say, if you have to pay money to use these places, but the money goes to the people who serve the idol, not to the priests. So we'll say, interesting enough, what Abai is suggesting over here is that the issue is where you have to pay money to the priests. If you have to pay money to the priests, you can't use the gino or the merchas. If you have to pay money, but it doesn't go to the priests, instead it goes to who? To the followers, to the worshippers of the Avodah Zarah, that's fine. That's fine. So the Gemara says, Igu de Masni La Seifa. So we'll say, others go ahead and put the statement of Abai in the second part of the Mishnah. Haya shalav v'shalachirim, nen and mehem betova, v'shalav betova. We'll say, if the merchats belonged to the Avodah Zarah and to others, then ultimately, again, you could benefit from it whether you have to pay money or not. Amr Abai says, betova, tova sachirim. So we'll say, the case of tova means that you pay money ultimately, again, to what? To the worshippers, but not to the priests. Shelo betova, shelo betovas komrim. We'll say ultimately again, without a fee means not having to pay to the priests. So we'll say, so we mandamas niyaseifa kol shekin areisha. So the one who has a bias statement on the reisha certainly agrees with this interpretation of the seifa. Umandamas niyareisha, but the one who has a bias statement in the reisha, avala seifa kevan diika achirim bahada afilu betovas komrim nami shapir damir. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the machlokis between the two years also we'll say is as follows. So everyone agrees that if you could go ahead and use the gina, the merchats, even if it belongs to Avodah Zarah, you don't have to pay anyone. If it's free, then what? Then what? Oh, it's a mitzvah. Right? I'm saying, you know, if it's free, then you could use it. What happens if you have to pay money? If you have to, so we'll say it depends. If the money goes to the priests, you can't use it. If the money goes to the worshippers, you can use it. The interesting nafkamina case between how you read Abai Simon Bosse will be in what case? Where the money goes both to the priests as well as to the worshippers. According to the first reading of Abaye's statement, if the priests share in it at all, you can't use it. According to the second reading of Abaye's statement, even if the priests share in it, as long as what? As long as it's not exclusively to the priests, but also going to the worshippers, it would be permitted. So a machlokis in the girs of Abaye. Avodas kochavim shall ovid kochav masrim yad. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that the Avodah Zarah of an akum is asr immediately. So masnisin money. It was even before you worship it. So whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Akiva, he disanya avei tabdunas kolam ekamos asher avdu sham hagoyim. Rabbi Akiva says, the Pasuk says, destroy all of the places that the goyim, the nations, have worshipped there. Bekelim shenishtam shu bahen la'avodas kochav makasa medaber. What's that? The Torah is talking about utensils that were used, right? That served Avodah Zarah. You have to destroy them. Yochalas zom v'lo gamrum, gamrum v'lo hivium, hivium v'lo neshtam shubahen. I might have thought that the Torah is telling me to destroy even utensils that were made, but were never finished, or were finished and were not offered, or were offered, or I should say, or were brought to the Avodah Zarah, but were never used. Yocho yuasurim. I might have thought to both say that these objects should be asra as well. Talmud lomar, asher avdu sham hagoyim. She'in asurim ad sheyavdu. So both say, again, Rabbi Akiva dashes from the Pasuk. Literally, abei tabdunas kalam mekamos, asher avdu sham hagoyim. We'll say, when does the Avodah Zarah of an Akum become Asr? When? Only after it's worshipped. But even once it's made, even if it's made exclusively for the Avodah Zarah, if it hasn't yet been used in worship, it's not Asr. So the Gemara says, Tamalom Asher Avdu Shamagayim, Sheni Surin Achi Avdu, Mikan Amru, from here we learn, Avodas Kochavim Shal Ovid Kochavim, Eina Asura, Achi Te Ovid. From here we learn that what? That the Avodah Zarah of an Akron Abosai is only Asr when? After it's been worshipped. The Yisra, Vishal Yisrael, Asura Miyad. Right? But ultimately again, of Yisrael, ultimately again, it will be Asr immediately. Divi Rabbi Yishmael, these are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chiluf HaDvarim, Rabbi Kiva says just the opposite. Avodas Kochavim Shal Ovid Kochavim Asura Miyad. Rabbi Kiva Abosai holds that the Avodah Zarah of an Akum is Asr immediately. Shall Yisrael ad shete avid, but Yisrael will say his avodah zarah is only aser once it is worshipped. So we'll say fundamental machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel about again at what point in time does the avodah zarah of a Jew and of an Akum become prohibited. Rabbi Yisrael will stop over here for today. We'll pick up a Mirat Hashem with this machlokes tomorrow morning. Right.